You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
My mom came over for lunch yesterday. I said, can we watch the end of the first half of the game? So we watched the end of the first half. I tape it. I'm adamant. I'm not bringing my phone to lunch. I left my phone at home. I don't want to get hit with a stray result. We go to lunch, sit outside. The waiter comes over. I'm like, do me a favor. Do not say anything about the Georgetown game. I was like, all right, I won't mention the Georgetown game. You don't even know what I'm talking about, right? Get home. Turn the game on. Hit play. Ben comes bursting in from school. Dad, that was some win by Georgetown. You must be so happy.
This is DCR.
I don't blame anybody. This is not Ben's fault. This is Dave Rothenberg's fault. Just telling random
people. How can you say you don't blame anybody and then just say I blame Dave Rothenberg?
I don't blame anybody, but I blame you.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, it's the big 6 o'clock hour on the Friday. Time now for a Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I got to be honest. RJ brought this up to me about 30 minutes ago. And he said, do you realize what they haven't done yet today? And I said, no, I'm fully well aware. I don't know that I've ever been more offended or hurt in my radio/professional career.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm sorry. I know what it is. I'm sorry.
Really? So you're not going to fight with me on you're just going to take the charge on this one?
Yeah, I'm going to own this one, Dave. I apologize because we talked about it a little bit in the pre-show meeting and I forgot to give you the wishes. So that's my bad. That's my bust.
Mm-hmm. We all know, Dave. We all know. Today's your birthday.
Why do you sound so despondent, Rick? Why do you sound so angry about it?
I don't know why you get so excited. I mean, you're 48. I don't know why you're so excited to celebrate a birthday.
Because it's my day.
His birthday, though, Rico.
It is my day.
He can chastise us for this one. We got to take the L with this. Like, he's right.
I don't
right.
even like my birthday.
Oh, but stop. Stop deflecting. Just say you messed up. You messed up. RJ pops on as we're in like the second commercial. He goes, do you realize they haven't wished you a happy birthday yet? I said, no, I've realized it. Oh, I took mental notes. And I said, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt because they're just probably playing around. I said, they'll mention it soon. He said, okay, if you think so. And now here we are, 6 o'clock. It would have never been made mention of.
Hold on, Rico. Why shouldn't he want us to celebrate his 48th birthday? What's wrong with that?
No, I don't have a problem with that. I just don't, it's just me. I'm different. Like, I could care less. Like, I don't need anyone to say happy
birthday. You don't
want to
celebrate your birthdays?
No.
I'm only going to have like 75
so moving
of them.
Forward, you don't want any birthday celebration?
No,
okay?
Zero.
No, nothing. No party,
come
no
on.
Gifts.
You're telling me you don't want the kids to give you cards, sing happy birthday, hang out with you, Dad, this is your special day? Nothing? Come on.
No, I mean, if they want to draw me a beautiful card, that's fine, but I'm not going to chastise them if they forgot.
I know what this
is. On my birthday.
I know what this is, Dave. I know what this is. He wants to fight Father Time. That's what it is.
Trying.
He's in denial.
You're never going to beat Father Time.
Unless you're Tom Brady, you can't beat Father Time.
You have to enjoy the moments, Rick.
I do enjoy the moments. I don't enjoy my birthday.
Well, you don't have to enjoy yours. You could help me enjoy mine.
Oh, it was tough to get a word in the 5 o'clock hour.
Oh,
it was all
please.
The entire hour was about you anyway.
Please. Yesterday, I let you start the show, and we saw where
that went. Thanks. Dad, thanks for that.
Yeah,
that was your birthday gift. Happy birthday.
If that was my gift, thank you. that was some gift.
Oh,
when I blow out the candles later today, I might just wish for that again for next year's birthday.
Lots of
that
into
was
today.
Really.
Good Thursday morning.
Not the Wednesday.
It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. Yeah, but you could hear, like, I came out with the energy, and then as soon as I said the first couple words, I was like, I have no idea
you
where
had
I'm going
it.
Next.
I mean, you were ready to roll. You had, you're like, oh, what, how did you start out?
Here we go.
Good
Thursday
energy.
Morning. Gone. It is not the Wednesday that Dave hates. It is the Thursday. Lots to get
here
into
we go.
Today. Start of the second half for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets tonight.
What does that mean, the second half? You mean the second half of the season?
Second half of the season. Now I'm just trying to kill time. At that point, I was just trying to kill time. Like, if you notice the spaces in between thoughts, that was me just trying to kill as much time as humanly possible without making it seem like I was just... I was off the air.
Now, that was, if we counted it, probably, what, 12, 13 seconds? 15, maybe, max?
Longest 15 seconds of my entire life.
What did that feel like to you? Did that feel like 7 minutes of radio?
It felt like a whole segment. Just think of what I'm thinking, looking at you on the Zoom as the song is playing when you're on the phone at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Well, because I got nervous because it wasn't connecting, so I called RJ.
And then the song's about to end, and RJ's like, looks like you're going to have to bring us in here.
Okay. Here we go. I loved it. So, but you know what? Good try here. I'm not going to let you deflect away. You messed up. I want an apology from you that you didn't wish me a happy birthday.
No, I'm not going to give an apology. I said yesterday was going to be your birthday today. What do I need to do? What do you need from me?
What do I need from you? If this was your idol, Michael Kay, and you didn't get in touch with him on his birthday, the relationship would probably be fractured.
That's a fair point, Dave. There's no way that Rico would allow a show to go on this long and not wish Michael a happy birthday.
I'm
no
57.
Way.
I'll be 53 next Saturday.
I don't know what kind of math that is, but you know what I'm saying.
Love that drop.
First of all, don't criticize Kay's math. Whatever he says, that's how it is.
In your mind, that's probably
that
true.
That's that new math.
In your mind, you probably look at the number table. You're like 56, then 53. Then like,
that's how I teach my kids. That's how I teach my kids. Is. Milo counts to 60. That's how he counts to 60.
Right. Milo, 54, 55, 56, 53. Please. That's
exactly
the K math.
Right. If the teacher has anything to say about it, he can come talk to me and Michael Kay.
That's how you count the alpacas on the farm?
Speaking of which, Dave, your restaurant, get them in touch with me. They need an ATM now. If they're going with the cash thing, they need their own ATM. You know,
that's
I had
right.
The very
you,
successful ATM business.
I'm not moving on until you wish me a happy birthday, though. I'm not moving on.
Well, I mean, we'll be stuck in mud then because I'm not doing it.
Come on, Rico. Listen, in the interest of the show, just please apologize to Dave for not wishing him a happy birthday so we can move on. Please.
Yeah.
You know he's a man of principle. He's dug in like Deshaun Watson is down
that's
with
right.
the Texans. He's not going
to
move.
Come on,
Chris, he's mocked me today. Chris, he's mocked me for 4 straight hours, 4 hours and 7 minutes. I've been mocked.
Well, that's because you kill him with the live reads that he butchers.
And that's the thing. And thank you for that, Chris. Chris, if I make a mistake, who's the first person to laugh and call me out?
Oh, it's Rick. He's going to say, yeah, guys, I need that as a drop. Like,
don't
that's...
miss the most romantic day of the year. Head to 100 Flyers. Shut up, really. Yeah. See? Now, in every relationship, there's a short list of forgivable offenses.
Yeah. The remix.
By the way, Jordan sends me a tweet. Says, he wished Kay a happy birthday at 12:01, but won't even say the words. This could be the tipping point.
Listen, whatever this does to the relationship, I'm willing to deal with it.
All right.
I don't need to wax poetic about your birthday. Forever
fracture the relationship.
Well, if our relationship isn't strong enough for you to deal with me not wishing you a happy birthday the second I spoke to you this morning.
No. Not the second. Say you've had an hour. A full hour plus. Tweets are going out all over the place. I have people tweeting me happy birthday. And my friend can't wish me a happy birthday? And somehow this is a me issue?
Have you seen your Wikipedia page recently, by the way?
No. Why?
So at the end of it, it says, okay, I mean, you got Dave Rothenberg, sports talk radio host.
Right.
At the end of it, he recently coached his son's 11U lacrosse team to a dominating 14-5 victory.
I saw that.
Well, that's true.
It's great. That's great.
He's changing his own Wikipedia now. That's what he's doing.
It's not me.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
So, all right, David. In the interest, I will say this.
Yeah, okay.
It's not fair to Chris, Ray, and RJ.
There we go.
For me to leave us here. Happy 48th, buddy.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. That's all I'm looking for. That's all I was looking for. A simple happy birthday wish from my...
I don't understand why that was so hard, Rico. Like, I don't understand why you were so dug in on not wishing him a happy birthday.
You know what it is, Chris? And we'll get to the calls in a moment. 800-919-3776. He knew he messed up. And like a child, you know, like when a kid messes up and they're just like, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I stand my ground. I did nothing wrong. That's what he was like right there.
Wow, like a child.
Like a child. You'll see one day. This is what children do. Like, they mess up. I wasn't me.
Just a petulance.
Yeah, petulance. That's right. Immature petulance. There you have it. All right. I bet you Ira in Staten Island will wish me a happy birthday. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave, and a very happy birthday and many more to come.
Thank you.
So weak, Ira. That's so weak.
No, Rick, that's a bad job, my man. My dearest friend, we're friends about 60 years, and as soon as either one of us wakes up on our birthdays, text goes right out. Bingo. That's the way it goes. Yeah. You know, you got to take care of your own, my man.
Listen, Ira, I messed up, all right, Ira? Is that what you want? I messed up.
And there it is.
There you go. No, you're a good man. Hey, listen, Rick, you're a salt of the earth guy, so I'll let you slide on this one. Hey, listen, you know, with Watson, you know, listen, see, I'm taking the Jet thing completely out of this, and I felt this for a couple of weeks now. I think ultimately what this is going to come down to, let's not kid ourselves, Houston needs to draft capital, and Watson wants out, and he doesn't want to sit out the year. So ultimately, it's going to come down where Watson's going to say, you know what, I'm lifting no trade clause. Get me out of here. Let's try to, you know, agree on a team where, you know, it's good for me to go to and it's good for you to get picks, and he'll be gone. Because I can't see how the Texans don't move this guy, because they don't have any draft picks until the third round. They need to capitalize on this mistake that they're making right now. And one thing I got to ask you, as great as Watson is, how much does the pressure kind of crank up when he does get traded? Let's say he goes to a team that has a losing record. How much pressure is he going to be under to make that turnaround really quickly? And do you think that could affect his, you know, the way people foresee his future going forward?
No, I mean, listen, there's going to be pressure wherever he goes just because of how much you're going to have to give up to get him. But, I mean, it's not going to mm-hmm. be, you know, Deshaun Watson steps on the field, depending on which team it is. And, you know, instantly it's, you know, we're Super Bowl contenders. I mean, if he goes to Miami, they all of a
yes.
sudden turn into a
yes.
real threat. Yeah.
Yeah.
But if he's on the Jets, I mean, no one's going to think, okay, all of a sudden now he's going to turn us into a, you know,
no,
an 11-win
team. No,
but
the expectation is going to be that they go from 2 wins to 7 wins. I mean, there's going to be a big expectation. They're going to be a much better team if he winds up with the Jets.
Well, yeah, eventually they'll be a better team. I mean, I think with whatever circumstance Deshaun Watson finds himself into, the benefit that team is going to get is they'll have a top-5 quarterback for the next decade. So there's pressure, but I don't know if it's necessarily pressure to win in year one. I think that all depends on the circumstances. But as far as Deshaun Watson goes, I mean, nobody's going to blame blame Deshaun Watson if the organization that he's a part of in 2021 doesn't have success. I mean, he was the second highest paid quarterback last year, and the Houston Texans won, what, 4 games? And nobody blames that on Deshaun Watson. They blame it on the head coach. They blame it on the organization. It's not his fault because everybody recognizes the talent.
Unless for some reason he doesn't play well. But if he has a similar season to what he did last year and his team goes winless.
No, he's only gotten better, Dave, since he's been in the league. He's only gotten better. So there's no reason to think that his career trajectory is going to change.
He is sensational. Yeah. That's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. DCR 98.7 ESPN is presented by Progressive Insurance. See, I know you love this read. I almost, if they didn't pay for sponsorship of the show, I wouldn't even do it the way that I feel about you right now. But because they did, and because I do care for you, Rick, and this is what friends do, I'll give you this read. Part crunchy, part creamy, and a bit sweet as well. And a bit salty. Nature Valley sweet and salty peanut butter bars are bursting with crunchy peanuts dipped in creamy nut butter.
Oh, my favorite.
And 100% delicious. Nature Valley, we are better outside.
I believe it's pineapple that makes it sweet. Naturally salty, but I think it's the pineapple.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, then.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, let's go to Steve and Leonardo. Steve, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got two things, one for Dave, one for Rick. With Dave, so I was watching Get Up yesterday.
Okay.
I seen this handsome individual, Chris Canty, was looking great on Get Up yesterday. I see Rick all the time. They got the cards stacked against you, Dave, because you got Chris on one hand, you got Rick on the other. I mean, Dave, I'm rooting for you, but, you know, come on, Dave.
Well, I don't understand the point. Like, what do you mean the cards are stacked against you?
Well, here's what he means. It's like you have this sandwich, this show sandwich, this DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg sandwich, and Chris and I are these beautiful slices of bread, and in between that bread is like some like head cheese between the bread.
Nobody eats the sandwich for the bread, okay?
Of course they do.
No.
The delicious bread?
Please. So I could give you liverwurst? No. You want, it's all about the meat. All right, nobody cares.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though.
Nobody cares about the rye. I mean, sure, the bread enhances it, but it's about the ham and cheese. It's about the rare roast beef with a little bit of mozzarella.
Dave. If you have some King's Hawaiian buns, forget about it. Forget about it.
Yeah, but this is what we're saying, though, Dave. It's tough for us to enhance.
It's embarrassing. I feel awful for you right now, by the way. I'm not the one that should be on the defensive on my birthday. I just received a text from Mike Tenenbaum. Happy birthday, Dave. Hope you have a great day and you're doing well. I'm sorry the guy.
He had no idea it was your birthday. He was listening to the show, has no idea. He turns on the show because Mike and I are close friends. We have a texting relationship, and now he's trying to be a good guy. He's trying to make you feel better is what he's doing.
He's a friend.
I think he might be trying to create dissension in our show, though, by sending that text message.
He's looking to sell some X2. I get it. Listen, he's a businessman. I get it. I understand it.
Why is it so?
All I'm saying is
I was stubborn. I thought when I make a mistake that I'm difficult, you take the cake. Like, I've never met anyone that when knowing they've made a grievous error in judgment will stand by that error more than you.
Well, I guess I'd listen to that caller made some salient points. I mean, to his credit, I mean, it's tough for the bread, Canty and I, delicious marble rye, to accentuate, to accentuate bad meat. It's impossible.
But here's the thing. When you guys succeed, I'm thrilled for you. Thrilled. Thrilled for you when you guys succeed. I'm not jealous. I think that success for one of us is success for all of us on this show. I'm not like you who can't wish another person an enjoyable day, a happy birthday. That's not me, no.
But it's like
when your team plays a hockey game, you don't think I'm anxious? Who showed up for your team's hockey game? Who was that?
You did.
Great point.
And we got our teeth kicked in because you're bad luck.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Never happened again. Here's the thing, though. I mean, you should know me by now. The fact that I wasn't asked or considered for the hockey show, now I'm just completely out of the hockey show. I was wrong. I made a mistake. I didn't bring up your birthday. I intended to, so now I'm just digging in. I'm willing to make this thing uncomfortable. I'll take it as long as I have to take it.
You've made it very uncomfortable for everyone involved.
Have you ever eaten head cheese before?
I don't exactly know what it is, to be honest.
You've never seen Google? It's disgusting looking.
Some hog head cheese?
Yeah, it's from the head of a calf or a pig. It's like meat jelly.
No, it's not what you. It's not what you want.
That it sounds
disgusting.
Terrible. Just horrendous. All right, Diana Rossini on Russell Wilson. She still thinks he might be traded at some point this offseason.
The waters are too rough. By this point, this should have been shut down on both sides, because look how ugly it can get when both sides aren't getting along around the league, when we've seen this happen before. Look in Houston. Things can always get better, but no organization wants this sort of split feeling with an agent who represents the player releasing on the record. This wasn't even an off-the-record statement that his agent gave Adam Schefter of, here are, we don't want to get traded, but here are the four teams if we were. That tells you how unhappy Russell Wilson is. And the fact that this team, this organization, is picking up calls and having conversations with different teams, that tells you they're open for this. It's just going to be who's got the draft capital and who's got the answer in Seattle for who's going to replace Russell Wilson. Because that seems to be the topic of why, or at least the issue of why this isn't happening, because Seattle doesn't have an answer at the quarterback position if they trade with any of the teams that Russell wants. So until they can figure that out, he's staying in Seattle. But this certainly could happen if some team gets creative.
Wow. So that's shocking, because I can't envision them trading him. And secondly, she says, if they trade him, who are they going to play a quarterback? Isn't that the biggest question? How can you trade a Hall of Fame quarterback and not have any idea who you're going to replace him with?
But that's the issue, though. I mean, he gives you the four teams that he would play for. But, I mean, if you make a deal with any of those teams, who are you getting back as your quarterback?
Nobody at the
level of Russell Wilson. And you're not going to have a draft pick with those teams high enough to address the position where you get a Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. Dallas
Jets
already has Dak. That was one of those teams. Could you imagine if New Orleans got him?
How about if the Jets made a play for him?
I don't know. I mean, I think Russell Wilson is great, but if I'm going to start leveraging assets, I would prefer Deshaun Watson.
I would too, based on age. But I mean, come on. If I can give you Russell Wilson, he's what, 32? You're going to get 7 years of that?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd like to believe that he didn't put us on the list, right? So we're not even being considered. If I'm going to bend over backwards to try to get someone, I'm going to try to get Deshaun Watson. He gave you the four teams.
Yeah. I agree. And now there's three, right?
Now there's three. It's Vegas, but Vegas said they're going to keep Carr. It's New Orleans, who, I mean, they would be crazy, in my opinion, not to do whatever
it took. And Chicago wants him. But Chicago doesn't have the assets to be able to make a deal work. I mean, Chicago doesn't have a quarterback to offer them. I mean, they can offer them a lot of pieces on defense. They can offer them their next three first-round draft picks. But is that enough for Seattle to be willing to move Russ, who's a top-five quarterback, and to eat $39 million in dead money?
Let me ask you a question. If you're the Jets, knowing that the Bears want to trade for Russell Wilson, would you pick up the phone if you're Joe Douglas and try to offer them Sam and something else to try to get Allen Robinson? And then all of a sudden now they could trade. I mean, they could use Darnold to trade to Seattle.
I don't think so, because I think that Sam might. I mean, if I can get a one for Sam.
Yeah, here's the thing. I think that Sam Darnold staying with the Jets. I don't know what the Deshaun Watson dynamic is in all of this, right, Rico? Like, the Jets can take this right up to the draft because they do have the second overall pick and they do have a capable quarterback in Sam. So they can be one of the few teams that has draft capital and can afford to wait for Houston to make up their mind on whether or not they're going to trade Deshaun Watson. I don't know if I want to forego that opportunity for taking a stab in the dark. You know, it's just trying to get some draft capital from Chicago.
No, here's the other thing, though, too. The reason why I brought it up is because either way, like, I don't know what exactly you're going to get for Sam. Maybe it's a back half of the first round pick, right? So, I mean, if that's the case, then maybe there is a possibility, because Chicago would need a quarterback to give to Seattle, that you could get Allen Robinson for just Sam Darnold, which would be the best case scenario.
But then you'd be
But here's the thing.
I hear what you're saying, but you'd be taking a first round pick from Chicago. How would they facilitate that deal with Seattle?
Well, no. I'm just taking – now all of a sudden they have Darnold to trade, and then whatever first-round picks they want to trade to – and Seattle's looking for young defensive players.
Yeah.
So the reason why I bring up Allen Robinson, because now all of a sudden if you're going to draft a quarterback at two, it would be great to have Allen Robinson. On top of which, I mean, maybe if you're Deshaun Watson, you see that they have a legitimate number one wide receiver now, maybe it makes it more feasible to be a Jet. No?
No, I see where you're going. I mean, listen, there are a lot of different possibilities, a lot of different avenues that Joe Douglas has available to him. And that's the great part about what he's done, right, with trading off Jamal Adams and getting those two extra number ones. Now you've got four first-round draft picks in the next couple of years. So that gives you maximum flexibility. So, you just got to figure out what avenue makes the most sense. But I think underneath all of it, you've got to have a plan on what you want to do at the quarterback position. And, you know, I don't know that a trade – of that magnitude, I don't know that you're going to be able to pull off a deal with Russell Wilson.
No, I'm not saying Russell. No. You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. I'm not saying get Russell Wilson. I'm saying help Chicago get Russell Wilson.
So you get Allen Robinson, and maybe Deshaun Watson wants to come to the Jets. But here's the thing. I don't know that Deshaun Watson doesn't want to come to the Jets.
Well, no, I was told that he doesn't. That right now, the Jets aren't on his list of teams.
That could change.
That could change, yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, even if, like, I'm of the opinion, I think you guys all agree, and it feels like, from what I've heard, they're more likely than not going to draft a quarterback with a second overall pick, and most likely it's going to be Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
So if you drafted a quarterback or you're getting Deshaun Watson, wouldn't you be better off if you had Allen Robinson?
Yeah, but I mean, I could just throw money at Kenny Golladay if I feel like I've got to get a number one wide receiver. Like, you can just pay money for it. You don't have to pay draft picks, and you got the second most cap space of anybody.
I have a ton of money. I can get Golladay. Now I could turn around and trade Darnold for maybe a first round pick. That would be the avenue that I would go in. Let's go to Brian in Manhattan. What's up, Bry?
Hey, guys. How are you? So I'm 61 years old. I'm a spry 61.
You sound very young.
Thanks, Dave. Sports has changed so much, and I think the leagues sort of like it. There's just too much player movement. I mean, think about it. It's the same story. Young quarterback, not making a lot of money. You can have success. You can build around him. Quarterback makes big money. Look at Russ Wilson. They lose access to good players. It's the same story. So why don't they have a cap on quarterbacks? Why don't they have a cap on the highest paid player in the team? Why don't they give a team benefits to not having to trade or get rid of an unhappy quarterback? Shouldn't there be a way the league can make it so that it isn't the same story now? Because this Watson-Wilson thing is just going to keep happening.
Brian, it's not. Listen, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but that's not something that the union is going to let happen. The last thing the union wants is the owners and teams to have more control of their players.
It's already hard enough to get paid in the NFL, man, and the average career span is 4 years. So I don't want to put any kind of caps on what guys can make. If you can command $40 million plus a year, God bless you. Ain't no way in hell DeMaurice Smith and union leadership is going to let the NFL owners cap what players can make.
Nor should
No shot.
Nor should they. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's continue with the NFL, get to the NBA, and there's a battle that's going to take place at 6:45. And I got to be honest, I hope Chris wins. I might manufacture these questions to work in Chris's advantage, to be honest.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I just might. The way you've treated me today on the day of my birth. I mean, this is I'm going to have 75, maybe 80 of these if I'm lucky. This is 48. I'm past the halfway point, and this is the way you treat me, DiPietro?
No, I felt bad. I was going to actually send you something nice to make up for it, but now nothing. Maybe you
like
get
a home delivery?
I was going to give you something. Now you're going to get, you know, some head cheese delivered to your house.
I don't want the head cheese, thank you. Multiple cream cheeses?
Yeah, no cream cheese, head cheese.
Love bacon.
Like a little, I'm not going to say what it's called.
But I'm not a pear.
The shape of a pear.
I'm not a pear. That's
disgusting.
Not nice.
Trying to
today
be nice to you,
days,
now
you
ruined
nice
it.
To me.
No, now you ruined it, though. Now
send
you just,
bath
you just keep
I like
piling
bath
on.
Salts.
Now you're gonna cheat in the game. I'm trying to get back to five. I'm trying to
you're
get
a cheater! You're a cheater! The questions are already locked and loaded.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
So Georgetown wins by a point yesterday over Villanova. They take on Seton Hall in one semifinal of the Big East tournament. UConn against Creighton in the other semifinal. Duke, just terrible news for the Blue Devils. They have a player test positive, and they aren't have to forfeit that game against Florida State, who moves on to play North Carolina tonight in one semifinal. And Virginia, your Virginia,
yeah,
Cavaliers,
Dave.
Chris Canty.
Tell us about it.
Are in the other semifinal. I mean, you must be just dialed in there with Virginia basketball, I would imagine.
No,
right?
I'm not dialed in, but I'm just saying, like, Virginia, this time of year, it's nice to have the program be relevant, right? Tony Bennett has done a great job of getting things turned around. He's got a national championship under his belt, but every time the tournament rolls around, you can bet that Virginia is always going to be competitive. They're always going to have something to say about it.
Yep.
Feels
yep.
good as an alum that's the state of the program.
Has the Harvard basketball team looking, Rick?
I haven't really checked.
Yeah, they didn't.
I usually get
year.
An email, get updates. You know.
Yeah, they didn't play. They took the year off.
That's a good point. You actually make it. You try to set me up there again. This is why you're a bad guy. This
I'm
is why
trying
I'm happy.
To set you up. I thought
this
you,
is why
I'm
happy.
The man that knows everything about everything.
Birthday.
You know everything about everything, and I thought you would have known that the Ivy League, you're beloved. I mean, listen, you're an alum of.
I knew
Harvard.
It. I wasn't paying attention. That was one of those trick questions. I wasn't even paying attention, to be honest.
Okay.
So you start bringing up Georgetown basketball, I just tuned right out.
It was like Charlie Brown. You heard like wah 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 wah, and you're like, well, I don't even know.
Yeah, it was just as soon as you said hoops update, I'm like, Dave's going to make this all about himself and how Georgetown won. So I have no interest in it.
He didn't. He actually brought me into the conversation.
You have birthday envy, I think.
I didn't even have a birthday. I didn't even celebrate my birthday last year.
That's because you didn't want to celebrate your birthday, though, Rico. But it's not like we didn't wish you a happy birthday.
Yeah. Could you imagine, Chris, what he would do if we didn't wish him a happy birthday on the air?
I actually don't think he would mind at all, Dave. I mean, at least he wouldn't make a public stink of it. But, I mean, I don't think he would. It wouldn't be a thing. But that doesn't mean that he should project how he feels about his birthday
right.
onto other people.
People can have their own feelings with their own birthdays. Jacob in the Bronx. Good morning, Jacob. You're on 98.7 ESPN. Jacob, good morning.
Well, when are the world going to start talking about how overrated of a coach Jim Boeheim is? I mean, he won one national championship, and he's been coaching since 1976. That's crazy.
Well, it's strange for me to defend the Jim Boeheim faction here, Jacob, but I mean, come on.
How can you possibly defend this guy?
He's a good coach.
I mean, he's been
coaching
since 76.
So Dean Smith won two championships, Jacob, and is considered the greatest, and it took him like 30 years to win a title, and couldn't win one until Michael Jordan went to North Carolina, which is the most storied franchise in college basketball history, probably this side of UCLA.
Dean Smith was overrated too, I guess.
Wow.
Here we go.
Wow.
Jacob, you don't like anybody.
Wow.
I mean, I like a few guys, but come on. All
who do you like? Who are your guys, Jacob?
Under the belt.
Who are your guys?
I have a championship under the belt. My guy, I go with, obviously the guy from Duke, but also the guy that was coaching at UConn a few years ago. What's his
Jim
guy
Calhoun.
Name?
Come on, man. You got to talk about John. If you're going to stay consistent with your argument, you got to say John Wooden off the top, don't you?
Well, yeah, John Wooden too, but that was before my time a little bit, you know, so I don't really remember the dude that much. But I remember Jim Boeheim won championship since 76. It's got to be exposed, man. He's been there for so long. They need to give somebody else another a chance out there in Syracuse.
All right, here's the one thing I will say, Jacob, and we appreciate the phone call. I mean, he does make a pretty good point. I mean, it only took me 2 years to go undefeated and win a championship. So, I mean.
Wait, there was a championship involved?
Well, yeah, I mean, theoretically, you go undefeated and you win your league game. I would say that was a champion.
Rico, what do we say about championships? It only takes one, right?
That's it.
Very few things in life you can do one time and be defined
exactly right.
by it for the rest of your life. So, winning a championship is one of them.
If I grasp this.
I'm not considering doing the second one.
No, that's off the table for me, too. That is off the table.
You went 3-0. Went 1-0 in league play. And somehow there's a championship involved in this right now?
Yeah, I was approached by Disney Plus.
To do an E60 kind of thing?
Yeah, doing like some kind of, maybe a book that leads to... some kind of movie, something like that.
The title of the movie is Goalie. What do we go with?
Undefeated.
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 I was going to save this for the 7 o'clock hour, but since we're talking hockey and we only have a certain
allotment amount
before we meet our quota, have you heard the new hockey analyst at ESPN with us acquiring the NHL? Well, take a listen to some of his brilliant analysis.
Ha-ha! You know what time it is, y'all? The NHL is back, and look who's talking about hockey. As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey. This is a miracle, because I don't know a damn thing about hockey. I'm 1%. I don't know a damn thing about hockey. Let me be clear. The puck is black. Why?
And he didn't even say my favorite one. Play the one about the new Seattle team if you
have. The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster. That's what you're competing with, right?
Oh, my gosh.
What did I tell you a couple days ago? I told you this a couple days ago. This is what's going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
Stephen A. is going to be in the studio doing NHL shows.
There's no competition, Rico. How do you beat that? How do you beat Stephen A. doing that?
I mean, I'm telling you right now, Santi, you throw the Kraken, and then you mix on top of that, have you seen his tentacles, and then he got radio gold.
It's a winner. I take back everything I said, Rick.
The puck is black! What?
I like the Kraken one.
It's Stephen. It's Stephen Ace to lose.
I'm sorry,
Rico. I take all my compliments and how it was your job to lose. I take it all back. It's
I would pay. You know what? I might. This is what we got to do. I'm gonna talk to the powers that be. I'm going to get Stephen A. on my hockey show as a guest, like an analyst, to really break it down.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
To a fine powder, Dave. Break it all down.
What did he start to say?
He was going to say mother effer is what he was going to say.
He was.
That's what he was going to say.
One more time, Santi.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
That's exactly what he was about to say, Rico.
This is a miracle, because I don't know a damn thing about hockey. I've often said, I don't know a damn thing about hockey. Let me be clear.
The whole thing would have gone up in smoke there if he said that.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster. Have you seen his tentacle?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Got Sidney Crosby and them boys.
How do you beat that, Rico?
I can't.
How do you beat that? I can't.
Some of the pronunciations. Oh.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, he starts breaking down Andre Vasilevsky.
Oh.
Capo Caco.
Oh. We can only be so fortunate.
You know Caco and those boys. You can't beat it, but it's the delivery, man. It's all the delivery.
Igor Shesterkin.
The puck is black. Why?
The puck is black. Why?
James in Brooklyn. James, you're next up on 98.7.
Hi, good morning. All right. I'm a Jet fan. And this is me being really hopeful. I think the Jets could play a little puppet master here.
Go ahead.
All right. So I was thinking San Darnold, and we have two third-round draft picks this season, somewhat over for Allen Robinson. But we get a clear number one receiver. All right, because
again, James, I don't know why. And Canty mentioned it before, and I was thinking the same thing. Why am I going to give two-thirds and a potential first-round pick for Allen Robinson when I can sign Kenny Golladay for just money?
No, absolutely. No. I understand that, but I think Robinson's better than
Golladay. I agree with you, but is he that much better?
No, he's not that much better. He's not that much better. No,
All you're doing is you're eliminating the competition is what you're doing. Like, Kenny Golladay is going to be he's the best wide receiver available right now.
Yeah, no question about it.
So rather than have to go out of your way to overpay because you want him to choose you, then now all of a sudden you trade for Allen Robinson, you have him in your building, and you can sign him to an extension.
Well, yeah, I mean, either one of them you're going to pay top-of-the-market prices for. I mean, that's just what it is. But if you're the Jets, does it really matter that much? I think the draft picks are more important for the Jets than the cap dollars, just because only Jacksonville has more money than you to spend.
And Rick, think about it for a second. What do you think realistically you can get for Darnold?
I have no idea at this point.
All right,
I
mean, well, throw out something that's not even like a decent amount in.
Well,
return.
There's been eight teams that have called the Jets. So if there's that much competition for Sam Darnold, depending on what happens with, you know, Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, then I would say, you know, potentially a back half of the first round pick.
Okay. So would you trade a back half of the first round pick and two threes for Allen?
No,
Robinson?
I don't. But I never said two threes. I said if you could trade. If
I didn't say you did. That's what the caller just said.
No, I disagree with that. No, I disagree. If that's the case, then I'm with you guys. I would, you know, I would pay a little bit extra and try to get Kenny Golladay.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to trade Sam anyways, and I could get Allen Robinson for Sam Darnold, I would do it. Allen Robinson would. I mean, that changes your wide receiver position. And now I don't have to worry about competing to try to get Kenny Golladay because the Giants are going to be in. There'll be plenty of teams that are in on Kenny Golladay. No?
No, there will be, but I don't think the contract is going to be something that's prohibitive for the Jets. That's all I'm saying. Like, whatever the Giants can pay, whatever who else would be interested in Golladay would be willing to pay, the Jets can just cut a check and the conversation is over.
Now, outside of Jacksonville, no one can compete financially with the
Jets.
That's it. Let's go to Cullum.
The Giants don't have plenty of money? Their quarterback's on a rookie deal, isn't he?
Come on, man. Really, Rico?
Really, on my birthday, bad guy.
Come on, man.
Whatever you're eating. Good. Cullum in the Bronx.
Good morning, DCR. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Cullum. You're a gentleman.
Stop it.
Yeah, I had to say it. But really quick, 2 days ago, there was a post on Twitter that Rick was a part of, and the Michael K. Rick thing, I thought it was a joke, and I was okay with it, and I was cool with it, but now I'm just genuinely, deeply disturbed by it. And we saw, you know, Rick's intro yesterday and how horrific it was. Rick should be a lot more nicer. Rick should be a lot more nicer to Dave because he wants Michael K, but he needs Dave Rothenberg. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah, I agree, Tom. I should be more nicer and more better, too.
It's you know the what? Old 80-20 rule.
Oh.
It's the old, that's what it is, Cullum. I mean, he's getting 80% of what he needs from Dave Rothenberg. But, you know, when you're not getting that other 20, the other 20 looks real good to you, looks damn good to you. And that's what the Kaster represents in this situation. And that's why Rico thinks it's the grass is greener on the other side. I'm just saying, maybe Rick should appreciate what he's got at home.
Yeah, look what you have.
Maybe he has no grass. Maybe I prefer no grass. Maybe a landing
strip. I'm with you on that one.
Maybe that's what I like.
Okay, guess on DCR via the Goodyear hotline.
I'm with you on that one.
Maybe I like a parquet floor. Who knows?
Clean workspace.
Quite the hotline we got going there. That is quite the hotline. All right. Let's go.
Get to know your teammates, Dave.
I know. These are my teammates. Getting to know you, and it's brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Place your parlays, your props, your future bets at the king of all sports books. Get the app and get the app today. Getting to know you. Let's go.
Getting to know you.
Getting to know you.
On DCR.
I don't know who you are.
This is... oh, my God. All right, welcome to Getting to Know You on the Friday on 98.7 ESPN. The standings are what? Chris, you're sitting here at 2-0. Rick, you're 1-1. This is a two-game swing. This is a monster week of getting to know you guys.
Yeah, I could care less. I actually hope I go 0-5.
Wow.
You're sabotaging the game? I don't believe that. You would be fine losing at a competitive battle here?
Yeah, I would call it would be a constructive loss. Losing with a purpose. I'm tanking.
You're a bad guy.
Well, Dave, if we didn't mention it before, you could have had what day is Dave Rothenberg's birthday on and put March 12th on there, and maybe Rico would have got it wrong.
He would have had absolutely no idea a puzzling question like that. All right, now, let's play. I still don't believe you're going to tank this one, but here we go. A birthday edition, possibly, maybe. Let's find out. As my lovely mother was in labor, the discussion between my dad and the doctor involved the New York Giants' lousy quarterback play. How upset he was that she was giving birth during tax season, as the accountant, in fact, that he was. The Knicks looking for another title in a four-year span, something that probably is unbelievable to many. Or epidurals.
Is there another option? I feel like there could potentially be another option.
Nope. Those are the four options I'm giving you right here. What was the conversation between my dad and the doctor as my mom was in labor with me. The Giants' lousy quarterback play. How upset he was that it was tax season. The Knicks looking for another title in a short span. Or epidurals. Does anybody need any time, any help, any clarification?
No.
Okay. Question two. Before Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in 1994, the pressure was at such a fever pitch for me that I, A, drove to the Hamptons and isolated to get away from the media coverage. B, went to Atlantic City and gambled my face off. C, started work in a mortuary. Or D, worked a 48-hour consecutive shift at Dunkin' Donuts leading up to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Rangers and Canucks. Game 7, Stanley Cup Finals, 1994. A, Hamptons. B, Atlantic City. C, a mortuary. D, 48-hour shift at Dunkin' Donuts. We ready to move on?
Yep.
Question three. Rick, are you ready to move on?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. I hate North Carolina basketball because of Dean Smith. I always liked Duke. They beat the Hoyas in 1982. Or Michael Jordan. Hated North Carolina basketball because A, Dean Smith. B, I always rooted for Duke. C, they beat the Hoyas in the 82 championship game. Or D, one Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Question four. I've been in jail this many times. Imprisoned and jailed. A, 0 times. B, 1 time. C, 2 times. Or D, 3 separate occasions of jailing. You need it again, or you're ready to move on here?
I think we can move.
I think we can move on.
And lastly, the grand finale. I told Sherry that I would marry her at one point in our relationship. During our first date, when we finally introduced each other to our respective parents, the first ever phone call conversation before meeting her or upon moving in that fateful night where the Giants lost to the Dallas Cowboys. I told Sherry I would marry her. First date, when we met each other's parents. First ever phone call, or upon moving in together. Those are the five questions of getting to know your co-host. How do you feel like you did, Chris? You feel confident?
I'm feeling fairly confident, Dave.
Rick?
I could care less.
Wow.
You're a miserable human being, you know that? I defend you all the time. This I just received this tweet, and I wanted to respond to the person and say, you know what, you're such a nasty you-know-what, but I don't think I can. He says, something is double entendre. Something is seriously wrong with H. Dumpty 39. He is so overly sensitive all the time, and the whole pick on Rothenberg ESPN Act is getting overplayed very, very quickly, even on the man's birthday. And I was going to respond and say, no, it's all in good fun, but I don't know that, in fact, it is.
Yeah, again, but this is you being the victim. You made fun of me for 3 straight hours yesterday. Now all of a sudden I bust your chops for a couple minutes and I'm the bad guy.
No, but it's not
the bully.
I'm busting my chops. It's that you're trying to bring down the show. I mean, we're doing a game and you're not even going to participate in this thing?
I didn't say I wasn't going to participate. I could care less if I win or lose.
You're not interested. You don't care. Fine. You know what? Let's move along. Question one. The conversation between my dad and the doctor as I was being born was A, the Giants' lousy quarterbacking play. B, how upset he was that it was tax season and she was giving birth. C, the Knicks looking for yet another championship. Or D, the all-encompassing epidural. Rick, where'd you go?
I went with E, adoption.
All right, I'm done. We'll move right along. Let's get to some calls. You want to sit here and analyze the Knicks' defense last night? We can take calls on that. You sure?
No, I went with the Giants' quarterback play.
Okay. Chris?
I'm going to go with C, the Knicks chasing another title.
As much as it pains me to say it, Rick, you are up 1-0. It was the Giants' quarterback play was the conversation as my mother was dilating. All right. Question two. Before Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in 1994, the media pressure, the all-encompassing, was just, it was too much for me. I drove to the Hamptons and isolated. I went to Atlantic City and gambled. I began work in a mortuary, or I worked a 48-hour shift at Dunkin' Donuts. Chris?
I'm going to say B. You went to AC to gamble.
All right. Rick?
I concur. AC to gamble.
You're both wrong. I drove to the Hamptons, locked myself away in a hotel room,
and
avoided all phone calls and all media for 48 hours leading up to the game.
We took the bait, Rico.
You took it hook, line, and sinker. All right, Rick, you're 1-1. Chris, 0-2. Question three. I hate North Carolina because of Dean Smith, because I always rooted for Duke, because of the 82 championship game, or because of one Michael Jordan. Rick?
I'm going to beat the Hoyas.
All right, beat the Hoyas. Chris?
Same.
That is sadly correct. Rick, you're sitting here at 2-1. Chris, you're only one game back at 1-2. I will never get over the 82 championship game. How many times have I been imprisoned during the course of my life? A-0, B-1, C-2, D-3. Chris Canty, you are up.
Dave Rothenberg, even though you've hung around a lot of seedy characters, I don't think you actually found yourself on the wrong side of the law in the clink. So I'm going to say 0 times in jail. A.
All right. He's going to say 0. Rick, where will you go?
I know you do love syrup, grape jelly, and occasionally tossed salads, but I think this is a trick question. I think you were 0 times in jail.
You know me so well. You're both correct. I've never been in jail. Not only have I never been to jail, I don't think I've actually ever even been inside of a jail.
Well, because your best friend called you to get him out of jail, and you said no.
Well, I had a streak going of not going to jail, and I wanted to keep that.
This is what drives me crazy about you and the people that listen to this show, and this is how manipulative you are, is that for some reason, people think you're the greatest guy.
We're picking
on you, when in reality, of the three of us, you're the worst guy.
No.
Yes.
No, how could you say that? I'm nicer to you than you are to me.
You're a bad friend. First of all, you're a bad friend. It's your best friend. I'm in jail. Can you come get me out? No, I can't. There's a football game going on. I mean, you're a questionable husband.
Oh, I'm a great husband.
Like, emotionally detached from the relationship.
No.
The kids get scared when you watch a game. They have to go eat dinner upstairs in their room.
That was a long time ago, and he was little.
Yeah, but it happened. You made the dog pee. The dog pees itself because it was so scared of you when you go crazy.
Yeah, that's true. That is very accurate.
And we're the bad guys. And on top of it, I suck it up, and I win this round to get to know Dave Rothenberg.
You didn't win yet. Hang on. There's another question.
What do you mean? That's 3-1.
No, it's 3-2.
No, you're right. It's 3-2.
Yep.
Damn it.
You have 3. He has 2. Question 5.
Just touched the money. You know what's going to happen?
You just touched the money.
That's a bad job by you. I told Sherry I would marry her, Chris. The ball is in you.
No,
you gotta answer
Rico.
This one.
It's on Rico.
Rick is first, so you can go the other way. Okay. All right. I told Sherry I would marry her, A, on our first date. B, when we met each other's parents. C, on the first ever phone call. Or D, the day we moved in together. Rick, for the win, you're up. You should see how stressed he looks right now.
I'm seeing it.
I know you are.
Well, because I have an answer down, and now I'm questioning whether or not this is the right answer, because now all of a sudden I'm thinking maybe like...
Shoot your shot, man. Shoot your shot. Go for it. The worst you can do is tie. You can't lose.
The obvious one seems moving in together, but I feel like something bad happened when you left her when you were moving in together. Like that day you were moving in, you left and made her move everything in together. I'm gonna go with the first time you met her, you told her that you would marry her.
All right, the first time I met her, Chris, you obviously won't go there. Where will you go?
Damn it! All right. I mean, I'll go moving in together, but. God dang it.
Well, you're both wrong.
What?
On the first ever phone call before meeting her in person, I told one Sherry Loeb at the time, you know what?
Ooh, Loeb.
I will marry you.
Yeah, that's how I had more.
I didn't know that.
I don't think you ever told us that.
Yeah, we didn't know that.
Oh, okay, but that's a great story, no?
No, not really.
The first time I spoke to her ever, I told her I'm going to marry her, that she sounded like my future wife. That's a beautiful love story.
No, that's stage five clinger. At that point, I'm hanging up the phone and we're done.
I was about to say, that's a little strange. It's unconventional, Dave.
Well, it worked. 17 years in May.
No question about it. Hey, listen, nobody's
and
not.
Unfortunately, to everyone's dismay, Rick wins getting to know your co-host.
I could have sworn it was the first date.
No,
I could have sworn it was the first date.
I wish you were, because then you'd be alive for a bonus question, and we would play to the death here. But no, Rick, you went.
What's the bonus question?
What is the bonus question?
I mean, you gave us a question we had no idea. Like, you've never told us the answer to the question before. That's not a fair question.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.